I must be honest, I have lived in, well, 90% of cash-free world for a while. I rarely have cash in my wallet. And with this pay wave, I think that's what they call it, with this pay wave, it's made it a whole lot easier. And you don't feel guilty. If you go back a couple of years, you sort of felt guilty giving a credit card for a cup of coffee. But it seems as though that's not the case anymore. Even church donations made through an app on an offering plate. That's right. Buskers with digital payment codes. School canteens with no cash. Money, that is, the physical coins weighing down your pocket kind. Well, guess what? They won't be for long because it's on its way out. That's right. Australia's Central Bank this week declared that currency, which has allowed civilizations to trade and flourish forever, was likely to become a niche payment, used only in emergencies, while checks are going to be phased out altogether. When was the last time you actually wrote a check? These days it's all electronically done, basically, isn't it? And we're going to have a chat this afternoon with a professor from the University of New South Wales, economist Richard Holden. He says if we wanted to, we could go completely cashless in 3 years, as in there are no banknotes in circulation at all. We welcome Professor Richard Holden to the program this afternoon. Hello, Professor. How are you?
Hi, I'm well, thanks, Brent.
May I call you Richard?
Of course.
Richard, 3 years you say it would take us to go in a society completely cash-free.
That's right, and it would work something like this. In the first year, we could just take, at the end of the year, take the $100 bill out of circulation. At the end of the second year, take the $50 bill out of circulation, get people used to the idea. And then at the end of the third year, take everything else out. And as you pointed to, and as Reserve Bank Governor Phil Lowe pointed out in his remarks last week, we've moved ourselves towards electronic payments in a really big way. Cash and checks going out of style, and we're heading towards a situation a bit like in Sweden, where only 2% of transactions actually happen with cash. And there are really big benefits to being able to get rid of cash. It would save the government over $6 billion a year in people dodging GST and income tax. And, of course, cash is often used, among other things, for, you know, organised crime and dealing in illicit substances and so on. So there's lots of benefits of getting there.
Is Sweden the leaders in reference to getting rid of cash, or are there people ahead of them?
I don't think there's anyone ahead of them. There are others heading in the same direction, but they've really got it to a point where cash is barely used at all.
When was the last time you wrote a cheque?
Wrote a check. I haven't written a check in at least 5 years.
Yeah, I'd be the same. And, you know, being a small business person as I am, I suppose, you know, I was always writing checks, paying bills. But with electronic banking, it's now become a situation whereby you just... I was cleaning out an office drawer only a couple of weeks ago, Richard, and I found an old checkbook and I looked at it and I went back looking at the butt notes, you know, and I thought, God,
yeah.
I remember that, you know.
Well, about 4 years ago, I became treasurer of my kids' primary school PNC committee. And one of the first things we did was get rid of checks because of all the security concerns about them, having checkbooks floating around, not being able to trace it and so on. And so I think they're definitely a thing of the past.
I was reading somewhere the other day where they say the 5 cent piece, apparently, it costs 7 cents to actually make the 5 cent piece today. So surely it won't be long before that's gone as well.
Well, exactly. And, you know, part of the thing is pointing to convenience as well. Like you said, there was a time when, you know, paying for a cup of coffee or something like that with a credit card was slowing things down. It was a big pain for the retailer as well. And now, you know, with tap-and-go technology, it's faster than sitting behind someone who's counting out 20-cent coins to pay for something.
What about the pace of change and how it's affected charities and buskers and other groups that rely on cash donations? I mean, are they, you know, having difficulty dealing with this technology change?
As you pointed out, they've already adapted, you know, really well and remarkably. And part of that is because the technology's got a lot easier. And part of it is because, you know, a lot of people aren't carrying much or any cash around anymore. So if you want to get a donation or some money busking from people like this, you need to be able to accept a means of payment that they're going to have. I was in Beijing earlier in the year, and it was pretty remarkable. You go around some of the tourist sites and you see people outside who are incredibly poor, destitute people. None of them take cash. They all have a sign written in English saying, please pay me with WeChat Pay, which is the sort of online payment form of choice in China. So when it's got to that point, you know things have really reached a tipping point.
If Sweden's 2% transactions are cash, where does Australia sit on this list? Well, how many percentage of cash transactions would we still be making in this country?
We're closer to a third when you look at it. But part of what's going to help, I think, with that progression, not only is just the general penetration of tap-and-go technology and people who use maybe their phone or maybe even a watch or something like that for the more technically advanced, but also with a thing called the new payments platform, which started coming in this year, which came in earlier this year, but I think will really take off. And this is going to allow anyone to send any amount of money 24/7 instantaneously to somebody else just using a mobile phone number or an email address through an app on this platform that was championed by the Reserve Bank and involves basically all the major deposit-taking institutions in Australia. And so once you've got that technology there as well, the ability to easily split a check, if 10 of you go out for dinner and you all want to pay individually, having a means to do that in a very easy way, I think will push us even closer to or beyond where Sweden's at.
Is a cashless society a generous society? For example, I mean, if you don't have any cash on you and you see a busker, it's sort of so easy just to keep walking.
Like I say, as they realise that and have these other means of payment, you know, with just a QR code, and you can simply just, you know, swipe your phone as you go by or something like that, it'll become very easy for us to be generous as well as being cashless.
So what are the main benefits? I suppose we've got efficiency, certainly that's there. What else? There'd be productivity. What would be some of the other gains of being in a cashless society?
Yeah, well, productivity is definitely one of them, which is, it's a little bit of a bean countery thing to do. It's the sort of thing that give economists a bad name, saying think about all the seconds and minutes that add up every time we're waiting for someone in a shopping line or something like that, counting out coins. But given how many transactions there are, it's all time. And if we could save 10 minutes off our commute every day, we'd all be most people would be very happy with that. And we all spend a certain amount of time being slowed down by cash transactions. I think one of the other important things is if you are a small business owner and you close up your business at the end of the day, there's a significant amount of time that is dealing with cash handling, with getting things ready for the bank. If it's about getting things into a courier bag, making sure that things are denominated the right way, the bags aren't too heavy, that's all time consuming. It's typically about half an hour a day for a lot of small businesses. And then there's insurance costs. You know, you've got to have extra insurance when you have even moderate amounts of cash on the premises. So there's benefits in all manner of ways, including plugging the leaky hole in lost tax income from evasion in the black economy.
Yeah, that's the big thing that the government want to get their hands on. What about older Australians that have never lived in a world where there wasn't cash? I mean, there are people listening to us today that don't go anywhere near the internet. They would be the type of person that would be most affected by a cashless society.
Yeah, that's a very important consideration. I tried to address and grapple with that in things that I've written about it in the Financial Review and other places. I think what's important to recognise in terms of a sort of security perspective is, you know, to go and get that cash, you're either getting that out of an ATM or getting it from a teller. Banks aren't open as often as they used to be. They don't have as many tellers as they used to. Not going to be too long before, you know, tellers really won't exist for the ability to get cash out. So you're talking about getting it out with a card from an ATM. And then walking around with, you know, potentially a significant amount of money, maybe, you know, a couple hundred, few hundred dollars, because you don't want to go there all the time, particularly for people with limited mobility. And then you've got to ask yourself, is that safer and more convenient than taking that exact same card you used to get that cash and tapping it, next to an outlet when you buy your groceries or something like that? And my belief is that it's really a question of, people learning about the convenience, and as they do it more, they'll understand both the convenience and the security benefits of it, but it's important that people feel comfortable, and that's why a transition is an important thing to have happen.
I agree, Richard, and I think for the older Australians, the security is a big thing for them. Whenever we talk about it here on the program, going into a cashless society, it's all about, or internet banking, primarily. Oh, I'm not going to trust internet banking, no way. You know what I mean? A pay wave? No way, I'm not going to do that.
I think I understand that concern. I really do. I think one thing that people might not quite appreciate or hold that view is they're already trusting it. So the very bank that they're getting their cash out of, even if it's coming from a teller, right, that is something that's highly secured and highly protected from, you know, Russian hackers and whoever else. And so they're already very much part of the digital world and cybersecurity and all the things that go to protecting them. In many ways, the most secure thing are things like internet banking and tap-and-go cards.
So how long can you see it being before Australia is cash-free?
I think it takes an element of leadership and kind of will to do it. So as I say, I think from whenever we decide to pull the trigger, it could comfortably be done in 3 years. It could be done faster if people wanted to, but I think 3 years would have a sense of a transition to it. My guess is that what happens is that we will get to a point where so few transactions are done with cash, yet we're still bearing all the cost of the infrastructure around it, that people are going to say, oh, come on, why don't we do something about it? Now, whether that starts a year from now or 3 years from now or 5 years from now, I'm reticent to make predictions, especially about the future, as Yogi Berra, the famous American baseball player, once quipped. But it's going to happen. It's just a question of when.
Do you think that's because leaders may not have the backbone that's required to make some stronger decisions quicker?
Well, we see that on a range of different issues, don't we? So that's quite possibly the case. I've got to say, I would have thought that for a federal treasurer to stand up and say, there's $6 billion of free money on the table, and we're going to take it and give it back to all of you hard-working Australian taxpayers and retired Australians, I would have thought that's a pretty popular move. There's not too many things where there's $6 billion just basically lying down behind the cushions of the federal treasury that can be picked up in that way.
Richard, we'll leave it there. Thank you for your time. Really nice to talk to you today.
Great to talk to you.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Professor Richard Holden from the University of New South Wales. He obviously is an economist there. We thank him for his time. A cashless society. It can be done, he said, in 3 years. How's it going to affect you? Will it affect you, or are you like many Australians getting to the stage where you don't keep a lot of cash and a lot of the transactions that you make on a weekly basis are with this new pay wave, or do you do it with money out of an ATM or things like that? You might.